Chapter 145. Involving a serious change in the Weller family, and the untimely downfall of Mr. Stiggins, considering it a matter of delicacy to abstain from introducing either Bob Sawyer or Ben Allen to the young couple until they were fully prepared to expect them, and wishing to spare Arabella's feelings as much as possible, Mr. Pickwick proposed that he and Sam should alight in the neighborhood of the George and Vulture, and that the two young men should for the present take up their quarters elsewhere. To this they very readily agreed, and the proposition was accordingly acted upon, Mr. Ben Allen and Mr. Bob Sawyer betaking themselves to a sequestered pot shop on the remotest confines of the borough, behind the bar door of which their names had in other days very often appeared at the head of long and complex calculations worked in white chalk. "Dear me, Mr. Weller," apostrophe said the pretty housemaid, meeting Sam at the door. "Dear me, I wish it was, my dear," apostrophe replied Sam, dropping behind, to let his master get out of hearing. "What a sweet-looking creature you are, Mary. Apostrophe, apostrophe, lot, Mr. Weller, what nonsense you do talk." Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mary. "Oh, don't, Mr. Weller. Don't what, my dear?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam. "Why, that," apostrophe replied the pretty housemaid. "Lor, do get along with you." Apostrophe thus admonishing him, the pretty housemaid pushed Sam against the wall, declaring that he had tumbled her cap, and put her hair quite out of curl. "And prevented what I was going to say, besides," apostrophe added Mary. "There's a letter been waiting here for you 4 days. You hadn't gone away half an hour when it came. And more than that, it's got immediate on the outside." Apostrophe, where is it, my love? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Sam. "I took care of it for you, or I dare say it would have been lost long before this," apostrophe replied Mary. "There, take it. It's more than you deserve." Apostrophe, with these words, after many pretty little coquettish doubts and fears, and wishes that she might not have lost it, Mary produced the letter from behind the nicest little muslin tucker possible, and handed it to Sam, who thereupon kissed it with much gallantry and devotion. "My goodness me!" apostrophe apostrophe said Mary, adjusting the tucker, and feigning unconsciousness, "you seem to have grown very fond of it all at once." Apostrophe, to this Mr. Weller only replied by a wink, the intense meaning of which no description could convey the faintest idea of, and, sitting himself down beside Mary on a window seat, opened the letter and glanced at the contents. "Hollow!" apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Sam, "what's all this?" Apostrophe, "nothing the matter, I hope?" Apostrophe apostrophe said Mary, peeping over his shoulder. "Bless the miserable!" apostrophe apostrophe said Sam, looking up. "Never mind my eyes. You had much better read your letter," apostrophe said the pretty housemaid. And as she said so, she made the eyes twinkle with such slyness and beauty that they were perfectly irresistible. Sam refreshed himself with a kiss, and read as follows. "Marcus Granby Dorkin Wednesday. My dear Samuel, I am very sorry to have the pleasure of being a bear of ill news. Your mother-in-law caught cold consequence of imprudently setting too long on the damp grass in the rain. A hearing of a shepherd who weren't able to leave off till late at night owing to his having wound himself up with brandy and vader, and not being able to stop himself till he got a little sober, which took a many hours. To do the doctor says that, if she'd swallowed warm brandy and vader arterwards instead of afore, she mightn't have been novus. Her veals was immediately greased, and everything done to set her agoin as could be inwinted here. Father had hopes as she would have worked round as usual, but just as she was a turning the corner, my boy, she took the wrong road and went downhill with a velocity you never see, and notwithstanding that the drag was put on directly by the medical man, it warn't of no use at all, for she paid the last pike at 20 minutes afore 6 o'clock yesterday evening, having done the journey very much under the reglar time, which perhaps was partly owing to her having taken in very little luggage by the way. Your father says that, if if he will come and see me, Sammy, he will take it as a worry great favor, for I am worry lonely, Samivel, and be he will have it spelt that way which I say and write. And as there is such a many things to settle, he is sure your governor won't object, of course he will not, Sammy, for I knows him better, so he sends his duty in which I join, and am Samivel infernally yours, Tony Veller. Apostrophe, what a incomprehensible letter, apostrophe, said Sam, who's to know what it means, with all this, heing and dying. It ain't my father's writin', except this here signator in print letters, that's his. Apostrophe, perhaps he got somebody to write it for him, and signed it himself afterwards, apostrophe, said the pretty housemaid. Stop a minute, apostrophe, replied Sam, running over the letter again, and pausing here and there, to reflect, as he did so. You've hit it. The gentleman as wrote it was a telling all about the misfortune in a proper way, and then my father comes a looking over him, and complicates the whole concern, by putting his oar inches, that's just the worry sort o' thing he do. You're right, Mary, my dear. Apostrophe, having satisfied himself on this point, Sam read the letter all over, once more, and, appearing to form a clear notion of its contents for the first time, ejaculated thoughtfully, as he folded it up, and so the poor creature's dead. I'm sorry for it. She warn't a bad-disposed human, if them shepherds had let her alone. I'm worry sorry for it. Apostrophe, Mr. Weller uttered these words in so serious a manner that the pretty housemaid cast down her eyes and looked very grave. Hosever, apostrophe, said Sam, putting the letter in his pocket with a gentle sigh, it woes to be and woes, as the old lady said arter she'd married the footman. Can't be helped now, can it, Mary? Apostrophe, Mary shook her head and sighed too. I must apply to the Emperor for leave of absence, apostrophe, said Sam. Mary sighed again, the letter was so very affecting. Goodbye, apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam. Goodbye, apostrophe, rejoined the pretty housemaid, turning her head away. Well, shake hands, won't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam. The pretty housemaid put out a hand which, although it was a housemaid's, was a very small one, and rose to go. I shan't be worry long away, apostrophe, said Sam. You're always away, apostrophe, said Mary, giving her head the slightest possible toss in the air. You no sooner come, Mr. Weller, than you go again. Apostrophe, Mr. Weller drew the household beauty closer to him, and entered upon a whispering conversation, which had not proceeded far, when she turned her face round, and condescended to look at him again. When they parted, it was somehow, or other indispensably necessary for her to go to her room, and arrange the cap and curls, before she could think of presenting herself to her mistress. Which preparatory ceremony she went off to perform, bestowing many nods and smiles on Sam over the banisters as she tripped upstairs. I shan't be away more than a day, or two, sir, at the furthest, apostrophe, said Sam, when he had communicated to Mr. Pickwick the intelligence of his father's loss. As long as may be necessary, Sam, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick, you have my full permission to remain. Apostrophe, Sam bowed. You will tell your father, Sam, that if I can be of any assistance to him in his present situation, I shall be most willing and ready to lend him any aid in my power, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Thank ye, sir, apostrophe, rejoined Sam. I'll mention it, sir. Apostrophe, and with some expressions of mutual goodwill and interest, master and man separated. It was just 7 o'clock when Samuel Weller, alighting from the box of a stagecoach which passed through Dorking, stood within a few hundred yards of the Marquis of Granby. It was a cold, dull evening, the little street looked dreary and dismal, and the mahogany countenance of the noble and gallant Marquis seemed to wear a more sad and melancholy expression than it was wont to do, as it swung to and fro, creaking mournfully in the wind. The blinds were pulled down, and the shutters partly closed, Of the knot of loungers that usually collected about the door, not one was to be seen. The place was silent and desolate. Seeing nobody of whom he could ask any preliminary questions, Sam walked softly in, and glancing round, he quickly recognized his parent in the distance. The widower was seated at a small round table in the little room behind the bar, smoking a pipe, with his eyes intently fixed upon the fire. The funeral had evidently taken place that day, for attached to his hat, which he still retained on his head, was a hatband measuring about a yard and a half in length, which hung over the top rail of the chair and streamed negligently down. Mr. Weller was in a very abstracted and contemplative mood. Notwithstanding that Sam called him by name several times, he still continued to smoke with the same fixed and quiet countenance, and was only roused ultimately by his son's placing the palm of his hand on his shoulder. Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, you're welcome. Apostrophe, I've been a callin' to you half a dozen times, apostrophe said Sam, hanging his hat on a peg, but you didn't hear me. Apostrophe, no, Sammy, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller, again looking thoughtfully at the fire. I was in a referee, Sammy. Apostrophe, what about? Apostrophe inquired Sam, drawing his chair up to the fire. In a referee, Sammy, apostrophe replied the elder Mr. Weller, regarding her, Samivel. Apostrophe here Mr. Weller jerked his head in the direction of Dorking Churchyard, in mute explanation, that his words referred to the late Mrs. Weller. I was a-thinkin', Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, eyeing his son, with great earnestness, over his pipe, as if to assure him that, however extraordinary and incredible the declaration might appear, it was nevertheless calmly and deliberately uttered. I was a-thinkin', Sammy, that upon the whole I was worry sorry she was gone. Apostrophe, well, and so you ought to be, apostrophe replied Sam. Mr. Weller nodded his acquiescence in the sentiment, and again fastening his eyes on the fire, shrouded himself in a cloud, and mused deeply. Those woes were sensible observations as she made, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, driving the smoke away with his hand, after a long silence. What observations? Apostrophe inquired Sam. The mass she made, arter she was took ill, apostrophe replied the old gentleman. What was they? Apostrophe, something into this here effect. Veller, she says, I'm afeard I've not done by you quite what I ought to have done. You're a worry kind-hearted man, and I might ha' made your home more comfortabler. I begin to see now, she says, when it's too late, that if a married woman wishes to be religious, she should begin with discharging her duties at home, and making the masses about her cheerful and happy, and that while she goes to church, or chapel, or what not, at all proper times, she should be very careful, not to convert this sort o' thing into a excuse for idleness or self-indulgence. I have done this, she says, and I've vested time and substance on the mass has done it more than me. But I hope when I'm gone, Veller, that you'll think on me as I was afore I knowed them people, and as I rally was by natter. Susan, says I was took up worry short by this, Samivel, I won't deny it, my boy Susan, I says, you've been a worry good wife to me, altogether. Don't say nothing at all about it. Keep a good heart, my dear, and you'll live to see me punch that ear Stiggins' head yet. She smiled at this, Samivel, apostrophe said the old gentleman, stifling a sigh with his pipe, but she died arter all. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe said Sam, venturing to offer a little homely consolation, after the lapse of 3 or 4 minutes, consumed by the old gentleman in slowly shaking his head from side to side, and solemnly smoking, well, governor, we must all come to it, one day or another. Apostrophe, so we must, Sammy, apostrophe said Mr. Weller the elder. There's a providence in it all, apostrophe said Sam. Oh, course there is, apostrophe replied his father, with a nod of grave approval. What'd become of the undertakers without it, Sammy? apostrophe, lost in the immense field of conjecture opened by this reflection, the elder Mr. Weller laid his pipe on the table, and stirred the fire with a meditative visage. While the old gentleman was thus engaged, a very buxom-looking cook, dressed in mourning, who had been bustling about in the bar, glided into the room, and bestowing many smirks of recognition upon Sam, silently stationed herself at the back of his father's chair, and announced her presence by a slight cough, the which, being disregarded, was followed by a louder one. "Hollow!" apostrophe said the elder Mr. Weller, dropping the poker as he... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.